Tonight our text is James 2:19, and the subject is faith that is more than the faith of devils. Now I hope that you remember the five key words of saving faith that we ended with last Sunday evening. F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I trust Him. Now this text carries a very stern warning that we are not to be fooled into a false kind of faith. And James uses this, what I would call a startling example, of the devils who acknowledge God, they tremble at the person of Christ and His authority over them, but all the while they are doomed to the torments of hell without hope. They have a mental belief that accepts the facts about God and about Christ, but they are lost spirits, forever lost. Their knowledge is a knowledge that damns them. And James comes in and he gives this very terse word of warning. Make sure that your faith is more than what the devils have. Now, this is a startling example because demons or devils cannot be saved. The gospel was never designed for fallen angels. The Lord Jesus came into the world to save mankind, to save sinners, men, women, boys, and girls. But there never was a sacrifice to redeem wicked angels or devils. And so they are lost forever. And all the more startling is this warning, because if they can never be saved and they have a kind of faith, we need to make sure that we don't settle for that level of faith. And so James points to this startling illustration, and it is to say that for sinners, saving faith has to be more than the faith of devils. Now, what is James preaching about? If you look at verse 17, you will realize that he's warning against dead faith. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And he is calling the religious or the moralist to awaken to the danger, lest they have nothing more of salvation than the very devils who perish. Now, from this text tonight, there are three things I want us to learn. First of all, dead faith cannot be seen. It cannot be faith seen. James says, show me thy faith. Dead faith cannot bring peace because the devils tremble. Living faith or saving faith cannot be hidden because I will show thee my faith by my works. So that's my simple outline. Dead faith cannot be seen. Dead faith cannot bring peace. And living faith cannot be hidden. The first one then is verse 18, where you have James pleading with these people to whom he's writing, and he's saying, show me thy faith. Now, some people talk about faith as if it were gravity. You can't see the power of gravity at work. All we know is that the apple falls, and everything left to itself falls. There is some power that draws down toward the earth. That's gravity, but it is unseen. Some people think of faith as oxygen in the air. And if you go to the top of Mount Everest, there's no oxygen. If you go up in the clouds in an aircraft at a certain height, there is no oxygen. And it's unnoticeable. You cannot see the difference, but there is no oxygen at that level. Now, dead faith cannot be seen because it has no works attending. There is no evidence that is visible to the eye. And James is talking about the same thing that John the Baptist preached when he said, bring forth fruit meet for repentance. Fruit that is in accordance with, agreeable to, a spirit of one who has repented. And when a man has been converted to the gospel of Christ and the Holy Spirit has entered into his heart, there will be a new life. There will be works that will demonstrate that he's a new creature. The old nature is no longer in control, and there is a new life within. We can say of that person, as it is said of Noah, that he walked with God, or Enoch walked with God. Now, will every Christian have the same giant faith and heroic demonstration of faith as Enoch and Noah did? No. The Lord Jesus has told us that in the harvest there are some who bring forth 30-fold, some 60, some 100. And so there are going to be shades of difference and degrees of evidence of that new life in the Christian. But as one has said, a true Christian will bring forth new works somewhere, sometime, somehow. I've known of believers who in their home have been very timid. They hardly say boo about their newfound faith. For some reason, it's terribly intimidating to tell family that they are now a Christian. And yet, when they are out in the public realm, they have no trouble telling that they are a believer and are walking with God. And so it's true. A Christian will bring forth new works somewhere, somehow, sometime. Not every believer is a giant, but each one is signed up for a new life with God. Now, dead faith cannot be seen because it has no saving doctrine. These devils, we're told, if you look there at verse 19, it says, thou believest that there is one God. So they had the doctrine of the existence of God. They also believed that Jesus was the Son of God. And if you go with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 33, we will read here about the Lord Jesus in the synagogue, and he meets a man with a devil. And the devil speaks out and says to him in Luke chapter 4, 33, and in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. So these devils, these demons, they know of God that he exists. They know that Jesus is the Son of God and that he is sent by God. But even with that, it is not saving doctrine. And so we can see that the knowledge of these devils is staggering. They actually knew more about Jesus than the scribes and the Pharisees would acknowledge. Maybe deep down somewhere they recognized that he is someone from God, but they would not confess him as Jesus, the Son of God. These devils did. They recognized him as the Son of God. And they knew also of their own future doom under the power of Christ. They said here, art thou come to destroy us? They knew, of course, that would one day happen. But all of this knowledge, this faith of devils, was not saving doctrine. They had knowledge, but not salvation. They had thinking processes at work in their heads, but they had nothing in their hearts. Their heads were spinning with divinity, but their spirits were spiraling downward in a lost condition. And so James is warning that we need something more than this head knowledge, this assent, this historical faith that these demons had. Did you realize that the Lord Jesus referred to Judas as a devil? Now think of all the knowledge that Judas had. If any man knew the ins and outs and the ups and downs and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, it was Judas, having spent 3 years with him. And yet the Lord said to Judas, "Thou art a devil." He did not have saving doctrine, saving faith. And so we say to you tonight, do not trust in this seeming faith of devils. Mr. Spurgeon said on this that a man may say, "I have faith," but another question arises, "What have you faith in?" And the man may say, "Well, I have faith in what I have left or felt." Then get rid of it, for what you have felt is not an object of faith, nor to be trusted in at all. "I have faith," says another, "in doctrines which I have been taught." Mr. Spurgeon replied, "I am glad you believe them, but remember, doctrines are not the Savior. A creed cannot save. What is the object of faith then? It is the person, the living, divine, appointed person. And who is that person? None other than the Lord Jesus. And so these devils have faith, but it is not saving doctrine, because doctrines alone that do not lead you to personal faith in the living Lord Jesus is dead, dead faith. That's a great warning to all who sit under the privileges of the gospel. Dead faith cannot be seen because it has no gospel in it. There's no good news of new life, new hope, new future. The life of a demon was doomed by the fall. A demon is doomed today and doomed forever. There is no good news for devils. There's no gospel for them. They cannot be saved. The blood of Jesus will never wash away their sins. And all their knowledge and all their privileges and all their confession of believing in will never touch their souls. Indeed, the Bible goes further and says in the book of Jude 1 verse 6 that they are foreordained to eternal doom. That's the position of devils. Let me read you that text. "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day." There's the doom, the darkness, the hopelessness of devils. And so the faith of devils, this knowledge they possess, this acknowledgement of God's existence and of Jesus' power, all of it is dead, is dead. Now, where does that leave you tonight? I trust you know these doctrines. I trust you believe in the existence of God. You believe that Jesus is God's Son. You believe that he has all power and will be the judge on that great day. And maybe even it causes you to tremble when you think about those things. But that level, that degree, that point of faith will not save your soul. You need something more, more than the faith of devils. Dead faith also cannot bring peace. That's another part of our outline tonight. Dead faith cannot bring peace. We're told here that these devils also believe and tremble. That is, they chill or shudder. They literally shudder and they cow away from the Lord. They dare not challenge him. They dare not stand up to him. And so this is the outcome of their historical faith. They know the facts, and it terrorizes them, but it does not lead them to salvation. When we read through the Bible, we find that every encounter of the Lord with demons, it struck absolute terror within them. Now, there is a particular story in Matthew chapter 8 that we want to look at tonight. It is the Lord releasing the legion of devils out of the man who was in the tombs day and night. And he was ferocious, a terrible encounter. We've already talked about the demon that was in the synagogue. What an arrangement. Someone in the synagogue supposedly worshiping, and yet out of that person speaks a devil, and he's terrorized. Art thou come to destroy us? Now let's go to Matthew 8:28, and we'll read here just the situation and see how these demons trembled at the very nearness and encounter with the Lord. Matthew 8:28. When he was come onto the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, now that is the same as Gadara, or the Gadarenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And you'll see that these demons terrorized the neighborhood. There were people who would not even dare enter into that area. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God?" See how they acknowledged the sonship of Christ? "Art thou come to torment us before the time?" You can see that they were quite aware of their future doom, quite aware that in the end of earth's history, that every fallen wicked angel, every demon, would be tormented for all eternity. And they say, "Lord, art thou come hither to torment us?" And we read here in verse 30, "And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, 'If thou cast us out,'" so they didn't know what the Lord would do in the immediate here. They didn't know what the Lord would do to them, but they certainly knew that they were in big trouble. And they asked this question, "If thou cast us out, suffer us," that means allow us, "permit us to go away into the herd of the swine." And he said unto them, "Go." That was a command. And they left those that they were tormenting in the graveyard, and they fled into that herd of swine. Now that story doesn't end very well either, because these swine or pigs that are possessed of devils, they immediately flee to the water and drown, and becomes a notorious story. And the sad thing is that the whole city is so alarmed by all of this, they said, "Jesus, leave. Don't stay in the city." A very sad response to the miracle of the Lord dispossessing these men of these demons. But the account shows us that the devils tremble at the authority of the Lord Jesus. Now, Christ's authority over devils is the result, of course, of his cross work. And it is because that at the cross, the Lord Jesus conquered spoiling principality and powers, that every demon of hell recognizes Jesus as Lord or Son of God. Now, they don't confess him as Lord, because no man can confess Lord without the Holy Spirit. The devils don't have that kind of faith. All the faith they have is the faith to acknowledge, to agree, to accept the truth. They can't but accept the truth. But they do not have anything that comes close to saving faith. And I hope this evening that this exposure of false faith, this dead faith, that it will cause you to examine your own heart and ask, "What kind of faith do I have? I know the Bible to some degree. I've heard the gospel over and over. I do believe in God. I believe in Christianity. I believe that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world. I believe that He will be judge on that eternal day. I agree with all of those points. But am I saved? That is a huge question tonight that you must answer in light of this dead faith that brings forth no works that is meet for true repentance and true salvation. Now, I come to the third point tonight, which is that living faith cannot be hidden. And James, he asks, I will show thee my faith by my works. Now, unlike dead faith, which cannot be seen, living faith shines out in a believer's life. It tells its own story of a new life that works for God. Now, let me get this straight. Works do not produce faith. Rather, we have to flip the coin and recognize it is faith that produces works. Our works will never bring us into a saving relationship with God. But for everyone that has a true saving relationship with God, there will be new works in their life. That's the teaching of James in this passage. And you'll notice here that true faith will confess that there is one true God. We are monotheists, and the devils know that too. There is one true and living God. Also, living faith or saving faith will confess Jesus Christ as Savior. He's not just the Savior, He's my Savior. And I am not tormented by His presence because He's come to destroy or to torment us, but rather my saving faith looks onto Jesus as Savior to redeem, recover, restore my soul, and bring into my life the blessing and the fellowship of God. And I acknowledge that Jesus took a human body because He came into the world to save men, women, boys and girls, sinners just like me. We're told in Hebrews 2:16, for verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. And it was in that body that the Lord Jesus went to the cross, a body like my body, a body that has the same human features to a cell. He had a perfect human body. And in that body, He went to the cross to suffer, and He became not my tormentor, but He bore the torment of hell Himself in His own body, that by His suffering in my place, He would save me from sin. Devils cannot say that. But if you're a Christian tonight, you can. If you are a believer with saving faith, you can look upon the Lord Jesus and say, there is my Savior. He bore the torment of hell for me, and He brings peace and salvation for me. Now, living faith then, or saving faith, will boast in the cross. The devils don't have that. They don't boast and brag in the cross, because at the cross, the dominions and powers of hell were defeated. And you can study Colossians 2:15 in that area, that passage, where the Lord, by His death on the cross, spoiled principalities and powers, put them to flight. He was like a conquering general who, by His power, destroyed all his and our enemies by His death on that cross. Now, the devils don't want to even hear that. But tonight, we're boasting in the cross. It's the very thing that we are delighting in, and it is good news to our souls. It is the joy of our testimony that the Lord Jesus took my place and died for me. And that brings us that this saving faith, it's not just head knowledge, it's not just assenting to different things, but it is clinging, literally clinging to the cross of Christ as our only way of salvation. Now, this week I learned a new word to put into my toolbox of gospel preaching. And it is, I found this in Thomas Manton's work on the book of James. And he talked about faith that is affiance. Affiance. Now, it's not a word I was familiar with, so I wanted to determine what it is. And it actually is a French word. And it's close to the word fiancé. Now, when does a man become a fiancé, or when does a woman become a fiancée? When they make a pledge or a betrothal of marriage. It is a heart commitment. Saving faith contains in it an affiance, a loyalty pledge. This is what I'm looking to for salvation. I take Christ as my Redeemer, Savior, husband, if you will, in the language of Christ is the groom, the church is the bride, and we want to be united to him. And there is in saving faith this loyalty of the heart. It is a heart trusting in the saving power of the Lord Jesus. Now, I liked this word and its meaning, because when I read in Acts 8:37, where the Ethiopian asked Philip, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." There's the affiance. There's the loyalty of the heart. Now, let me ask you tonight, do you have the faith that is a love, loyal relationship with the Son of God? That's the evidence. That's the proof. That's what cuts to the quick, and by which we can examine whether we have just the faith of devils or if we have the faith that really saves. It comes down to love. If you cannot say tonight that I love the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, you may only have the faith of devils. Because saving faith, regeneration, salvation wins the heart, and the heart affections are given over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, another great text, maybe you want to turn to this one, Romans 10, verse 9. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Do you notice there the believing in the heart? Saving faith is a work within the heart. It draws the heart to seek the Lord Jesus. And I plead with you tonight to make 100% sure that you have not settled for the faith of devils that is mere knowledge, assent, acknowledgement, and yet works terror in your heart. That's the faith of devils. What a Christian needs and what makes a Christian is a heart that is in love with the love of Christ. Won over by the Savior's love poured out at the cross, and you are truly in love with him. One more mark of living faith. We're going here to James 2 and verse 20. James 2 verse 20. And another mark of saving faith, the example will be Abraham. But what wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son unto the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by his works was faith made perfect. And now the key verse is verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abram believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Imputed means the transfer of all the perfect works, the perfect life, the perfect death, the perfect resurrection, the perfections, and all the accomplishments of the Lord Jesus as the second Adam, the Redeemer of his people, all of his triumphs over the devil, all his suffering on the cross, all the power of his blood shedding, all of that was wrapped up and woven into a garment of perfect righteousness. Placed to the account or put upon the person who believes in the gospel. And so tonight your faith, if it is in Christ, it is in his righteousness imputed to you. The devil can never say that. No demon in hell can claim a title to the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus. All the faith that they have makes them tremble out of terror. It brings them no clothing of peace and of reconciliation with God. Tonight, you need faith in the Redeemer, faith in his cross, faith in his righteousness, perfect works, perfect life, transferred to your account, imputed to you, that you are now saved. And so to wrap up, do you see the deficiency of the faith of devils? The kind of faith that cannot be seen in the life at all, even to the smallest degree? And they will be judged by their works. They have a works righteousness of their own, and they are doomed. We're told in Revelation 20 that the wicked also are going to be judged by their works. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. That's the judgment of the wicked. That will never be the judgment of the saint. That will never be the judgment of the man or woman who has come to personal saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll prove that from one text. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He that believeth on the Son. Do you have that personal faith leading you to a heart loyalty, a deep-seated love for the one who suffered in your place and gives you his perfections to clothe you for heaven? Do you love him? If you can say tonight, I love my Lord Jesus, you do have a faith that is so different from the faith of devils. It's the difference of night and day. It is then a genuine faith, a comforting faith, an assuring faith, and it will last for all eternity. The Bible says, you shall not see death. The wrath of God will not abide upon you because you have believed on the Son of God. Now, are you saved tonight? Do you say, forsaking all, I trust him? Will you answer that before God tonight? If you're not saved, I invite you to trust the Lord this evening. I not only invite you, I beseech you, I plead with you. Do not settle for the faith of devils, but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, and thou shalt be saved. If I can be of help, please maybe just sit in the seat where you are tonight while others go to the foyer, and I'll come back and talk to you. And we'll open the scriptures and show you how you can have assurance of true saving faith.